Hello, this is the Library Talker, also known as the Library Lady. I'm Library Talker on Blogspot at librarytalker.blogspot.com, and I'm Library Lady on Podomatic, where this podcast is currently hosted. So I had a recommendation from a colleague slash friend of mine where I work, and it was for a book called I Kill the Mockingbird by Paul Acampora. I hope I'm saying his name correctly. So she was very excited about it, said it's one of her faves when it came out. Apparently published date was back in 2014. I don't remember hearing about it at the time, but I gotta say, I like it. It was not like the best book ever, and it is aimed more for middle grades. They're kids who are getting ready to go from, I believe, 8th grade to 9th grade. And so over the summer, they've been given a summer reading project, and they have a whole list of books to pick from. Now, for the purpose of the story, they had a teacher that they all loved at the beginning of the school year, and he went by the moniker of Fat Bob, which I'm not exactly super happy with that idea. Apparently, Fat Bob embraced this. He would have his thing at the top of his board every day that WWFBD, so what would Fat Bob do? And his thing at the very beginning of the school year was, I'm only going to have you read one book over the summer, and that's To Kill a Mockingbird. Now, apparently Fat Bob was as wide as he was tall, and he was pretty tall. So he has a heart attack and dies in front of our main character. So it's like, wait a second, we don't have nothing to discuss on the trauma of that in the middle of the cafeteria. As he's dying, he's like, enjoy everything, live your life, eat sandwiches, and then he just dies. Apparently there's a comedic episode with his coffin as well. Because he was so heavy, it dropped and exploded at the bottom of the thing. So, you know, haha, funny. Anyway, the kids now, we're months later, they've had a new teacher who came in, and she's okay, but she's not Fat Bob, and they've gotten along with her, but she is going to also, for some reason, be their English teacher in ninth grade, and maybe this is a place where they have ninth grade still in the, I don't understand all of that, but she's going to be their English teacher in ninth grade, so she gives them a thing and says, you have to, here's like 8 titles, one of which is To Kill a Mockingbird, and you have to read at least 4 of them, which, of course, nobody wants to do 4 books over the summer, that's cruel, unless it's an AP teacher getting them ready for, you know, their lit exam for their senior year, there really is no need for that. Anyway, now these kids are, kind of smarty, they have known each other for years. Lucy is our main character, and she is the daughter of the principal of their school, so of course she's been exposed to much literature and stuff. Elena, her parents died when she was very young, and she moved in with her uncle, who owns a used bookstore, so she is very smart. And Michael, while he plays baseball, he's not a typical jock type guy. He also is very smart and well-read, and the three of them have been besties for years and years. So the three of them are kind of excited, but nobody, you know, it seems like nobody else is. The copies of To Kill a Mockingbird have come in for the summer reading along with other titles, but nobody's buying them, nobody cares, they're all like, I don't want. And so they get a little upset, especially Lucy and Elena, and they hatch a plan to basically make it so that everybody wants to read it because it's not available. You know, the whole supply and demand thing. So they go around and they create a campaign called I Kill the Mockingbird. And then they go to bookstores all around their local neighborhood in Connecticut, which I like to say Connecticut because that way I can remember how to spell it. But in Connecticut, they run around and go through all these bookstores, used, new, all that other stuff. They say it's harder in smaller bookstores and easy in big bookstores to basically take To Kill a Mockingbird and hide them. They hide the copies in other sections, often ones that are kind of relevant, like criminal justice, and that kind of stuff. So they pick them up and they hide them behind other books. Now, So they're disappearing, and they put flyers up everywhere that they hide To Kill a Mockingbird. They put up flyers of a bird with a target on it, and I Killed a Mockingbird. They've created a website. They've got Instagram. I would like to have seen more of these. I would have liked to have seen some of the comments that they were getting. They just kept saying, we're getting a lot of comments, and like referenced a couple. But for the most part, I think I would have really liked to have seen the author have created like a conversation thread and have that in the book. You know, here's a large thread of, you know, what people are saying, and then have our leads get excited about it. And then, you know, Noah, how dare you on these, and then and how would they respond to it? I think that the social media part of it could have been exploited a little bit more in this book. But the idea is basically they're hiding, not stealing, hiding all of the copies of To Kill a Mockingbird that they can get a hold of. At one point, there's even a thing where the uncle for Elena has like, wait a second, nobody has been to my store and hid my copies of To Kill a Mockingbird. And the kids are like, oh, well, because the uncle is really good at monitoring his store, this small used bookstore. Which he also has new books apparently, but he's really good at monitoring his store, so they weren't going to try and hide him there. It wasn't going to work. He was going to be right there watching them. So they convince him to create a display as if he was part of the I Kill the Mockingbird thing with the theme, because they had Santa Christmas in July. And so they had a Santa display already up, and now they've given Santa an axe and having him kill the mockingbird, which, kind of cute. So they go through this to try and create this basically word of mouth buzz that people are trying to ban you from reading To Kill a Mockingbird. They're trying to get rid of To Kill a Mockingbird, and therefore you must go out and you must find copies of To Kill a Mockingbird and get them and read them, because no one should ban you from reading books. Except the message does come out a little awkward. And then, according to the social media thing, it starts happening around the country. People are hiding or stealing copies of them everywhere. So they put out a manifesto saying, we're not doing anything illegal. We don't want anybody committing any crimes. We're just trying to get people to notice this kind of thing. And yet, it's still continuing. And there is a cute little reference. It's mentioned in there a couple of times to Will Wheaton, which I thought was really cool. Apparently, you know, a couple of the kids there, one of them especially is a very big fan of Will Wheaton. And when they realize that suddenly their movement has exploded, they're like, why? How did this happen? Oh, Will Wheaton found out about it and brought and put it on his feed, and now millions of people are going around and hiding copies of To Kill a Mockingbird and putting up copies of the flyers, or making of their own flyers, that's to stick in the spot, I Kill a Mockingbird. And so, because Will Wheaton has gotten involved, now it's all across the United States type of thing. So they're now starting to feel like, oops, we're a little over our head. At the same time, while this is all going on, we have the fact that Lucy and Michael are a little flirty because they are 8th grade heading into 9th grade. And while they have known each other forever, maybe things are getting there. That's not super engaged in most of the book. I mean, there are moments of that. Elena, the character, is often there facilitating it and going, hey, Lucy, go kiss him, go do something. But it's not like a major part of it. And here's the thing. It's a super short book. It's 176 pages. I got through it in less than a day, which just partly is because I'm a very fast reader, but also because I think it had some things that it could have explored a little bit more. I think it could have gone more into why do people ban books? What makes it so that these are a problem? And then having some of that, especially, you know, granted now we're almost 10 years later and the banning of books has become very big again. And I really don't like it that one group that's going out there and has, like, there's what, 11 people responsible for 60% of the book bannings across the country? That's just ridiculous. ridiculous. They're filing the paperwork once a day, you know, or once a week or whatever to ban books, and that's just not right. So I wish this had done a little bit more. Granted, again, it was 9-10 years ago when it was made, when the book was made, and the book bannings were at that time not as prevalent as they are today. Like, now they are definitely making major news. But I wish that it had a little bit more in there at that. Additionally, there, you know, there are just some issues again. So I'm not saying this is a perfect book. I'm saying it is a good book. I think it has a good message. I think it had some really important things to say. The ending, I'm not sure if it was already planned or if he just went, oh. Because at one point they went to, and yes, spoilers, at one point they went to the trash bin behind a bookstore or library, pardon me, a library. And libraries do have to weed books. It's part of our, it's what libraries have to do. We take out the ones that nobody's reading so that we can make room for the ones that people want to read, or the new ones that, you know, may get people who want to read them. So we have to take out books every day. I work at a library. We do that all the time. We take out books that have never been circulated in the last year or two. We take out anything that's damaged, ripped pages, torn covers, all that stuff. It all goes. So it ends up, a lot of it, in a donation bin. But in smaller libraries, yeah, they'll just go out to the trash. Sorry, it's just the way life goes. So they have gone to a trash can behind the library and pulled a bunch of books. They've torn them to pieces, put them into a trash bin, and are getting ready to have a big fire. And like, you know, look, we're burning the books as their final, you know. But then they decide at the very last second not to do it, because they've set up this party. And as a way to have this finale, this end of the movement moment, which is like a week or two before school starts. And people come out to the park and end up having a lot of fun and are playing ukuleles and singing silly songs. And why would you destroy that by lighting a fire in a trash can with a bunch of books and creating a very much more negative thing? So they decide at the very last second to not do it, just join the party, and then admit who they are, because of course the entire thing has been anonymous the entire time. So it has its really good moments. It has a very good message. It does struggle at times. I will say also, I have learned a thing that I had not known before. I am not into the saints. I am not. I don't know all of these saints, but Lucy is named after Saint Lucy. And I had to look this up to make sure it was true, because I was like, that cannot be right. There's a whole little like page or so in the book where she talks about Saint Lucy and how Saint Lucy is, she carved out her own eyes when she was about to be forced to marry someone. And so Saint Lucy is portrayed as a woman, and she's at some sort of grass or palm frond or something in her in one hand, and in the other hand she has a platter with two eyeballs on it. What? I mean, you know, that, and I had to look it up, and it's true. If you look up Saint Lucy, there are a bunch of different pictures. All of the pictures have her looking, you know, granted for some reason she has her eyes looking up towards the heavens with this some sort of leafy frond thing in one hand and a platter with two eyeballs on it on the other hand. To which I say that would make an amazing Halloween costume, both obscure and slightly offensive. Especially if you, instead of having your eye, you know, instead of looking like your eyes are like there, you could paint your eyebrows and eyelashes and everything. You could paint everything all red and gory so that when you closed your eyes, when you close your eyelids, it looks like you've, you've carved out your own eyeballs. And so I'm like, yes, let's go for it. If you're going to do a Halloween costume, that is both, obscure and slightly offensive, let's do it. St. Lucy, let's go. So with, Lucy, Elena, Michael, the whole character crew, we do have some cute moments. Yes, Lucy's dad figures it out very early, but kind of keeps everything on the QT. Additionally, in all of this is the fact that Lucy's mother has just gone into remission from a very rare, very deadly form of cancer. Like, she was on death's door and somehow survived. And so Lucy has to deal with that all summer long. Her mom has just come home. She's getting stronger, but she's very scared about her mom and she's worried about her dying. And so there is a sideline plot there. Again, so there's a lot of little side plots. It's not, it's messy like life, which is, a very good little thing. And I do have a lot of positives to say. Again, there are still places where I wish they would just gone a little bit deeper, or just had a little bit more fun, I guess. Anyway, on a scale of 1 to 5, 1 being, no, go away, 5 being amazing, 2 being, 3 being, and 4 being, this is an I'm going to go with that. The more you think about it, the more you might have questions about things and it may lower, but the initial reaction, my joy for reading it while I was reading it was there. I enjoyed reading it. I was in it. I had questions and stuff after. I had a few moments in the middle going, wait, what? Which is why it didn't end up in 5 land. I enjoyed the book and I really think the message is a good one. I think we need to start questioning both why we read and what we can do to get other people to read. And then, also on the flip side, why people ban things. Why is that a thing? I don't, if you don't want to read a book, don't read a book. I mean, seriously. But don't tell others what they can and cannot read. And definitely do not tell me what my child is allowed to read. That is not your dang business. Just like in a classroom, if you think your child shouldn't have to read a book, I'm going to argue, first of all, the teacher probably is not going to be giving him 50 Shades of Grey. So, you're probably safe in understanding that the teacher is trying to expose your child to multiple diverse points of view. That is very important. We shouldn't all just be stuck on one view. If you're on the road, you don't look just straight ahead. You look around. You want to make sure you're safe all the way, but you kind of take a look and see what's out there, right? So that's what teachers are trying to do. It's like, let's just share what else is out there. But don't you dare tell me what I can and cannot read. And don't even think about coming after my kids reading. No. You don't want your kid reading that, you don't let him have it. But don't you touch mine. Anyway, so a 4 out of 5 for I Kill the Mockingbird by Paul Akampora. I really hope I'm saying that name right. And so that's my jam on that one. And again, Lucy, let's go for that Halloween costume. Let's go obscure and somewhat obscene. I think it's absolutely awesome. I Kill the Mockingbird, Paul Akampora, 4 out of 5. And this is The Library Talker, also known as The Library Lady. I'm The Library Talker on Blogspot at librarytalker.blogspot.com. And I'm The Library Lady on Podomatic, where this podcast is hosted. And I hope you guys all have a really great day.